Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, August the 30th. As we're counting down the month of August, a couple of more days in the month of August. And, you know, we're pretty much, we're not quite, three quarters of the year, but we're getting close. 2021 is really flying by. And sometimes I was talking about this with some family members over the weekend. You know, we had a little get-together remembering our parents, big family get-together. It was a lot of fun. There were some really good pictures and photos and some good food. And overall, just some very good memories of my parents. My dad passed away 5 years ago. My mom passed away 3 months ago. So there are lots and lots of memories of both of our parents, and people got to talk about them. It was just a wonderful weekend that we had. And I was talking to one of my relatives there about how quickly this year has gone. And it's hard to believe, he mentioned, that we're a year now. We're in the second COVID year, the second virus year, whatever you want to call it. I mean, a year ago, it was all COVID. And here we are. We're sort of not all COVID like we were before. But again, you know, we're not quite out of it. So it's a little bit strange. You know, I don't know how much this is going to last, but here we have at the end of August, and COVID is still, or at least the Delta variant, I guess, is still very much a part of our conversation. Well, today I wanted to talk a little bit about what's happening here in Texas with the vote integrity law, but we're going to talk also about Afghanistan. But I want to begin with a message to all of our friends who listen in Louisiana. We have several people in New Orleans who listen to the podcast, and I know how tough it is down there right now. They're getting a lot of rain, a lot of wind. Many of them don't even have any power. In fact, I think significant portions of New Orleans are without any kind of electricity. So we send our best wishes to all of the good friends in Louisiana. I understand that the state of Texas is sending some help, and I'm glad to see that. So that's what neighbors are for. I will tell you that when it was the other way around, when we got hit by Harvey a few years ago, that Louisiana was very helpful, and they sent us some help. So it's always good to help your friends, always good to help your neighbors at times like this. So our best wishes, our prayers for the people of Louisiana as they deal with a very, very tough hurricane by everything that I'm watching on television. Well, today became the last day of our military presence in Afghanistan, sort of the end of the Afghanistan war. It doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel that way because I don't think we've ended the war. I don't think we have ended our involvement there. I think it's just going to be a little bit different from now on. We may not have troops there, but we're probably going to have to go back and clean up some of this mess. We also have some Americans who apparently have left behind or are staying behind or we were not able to pick them up, I guess, at the airport, as it turned out. Now, I don't know how many of those Americans did not want to leave. As I understand, there are many of them who are married or part Afghan and who did not want to leave, who wanted to stay there because in a lot of ways that's their home. So it's possible that many Americans did not take advantage of the opportunity to leave the country. But others, maybe we did leave behind, and that's a real stain. That's going to be a real stain on the Biden record over the next few weeks as we find out how many. I also think that the Afghan collaborators that we have left behind, that might even end up being a bigger stain, because these are people who were very helpful to the United States. You know, when you go into a place like Afghanistan or when you go into the Middle East, period, or for that matter, any part of the world that you don't know well, it's extremely important to have people on the ground who tell you what's going on. And many of these Afghan collaborators, they were doing a lot more than translating. You know, there is this, you know, popular notion that these people were nothing but translators. Oh, sure. I mean, some of them were translators. But many of them actually fought with us in battle. And many of them were like, you know, spies within the country, people who kept us informed of what was going on with counterterrorism activities and so on. So I feel bad for these people. I feel like they're going to be executed, many of them. And I'm not even talking about the women of Afghanistan who are obviously going to be going through a very difficult time adjusting to a totally different way of life in Afghanistan. So I'm very sad. I'm really very sad to see what is happening. And I just hope that somehow we don't have to come back. But I have a funny feeling that we will, because this will once again become a playground for terrorism. And we may very well have to attack Afghanistan, not necessarily with an army, but when we may have to fire missiles and fly some airplanes in there, and that's something it did not have to happen. I think that's the tragedy of this whole thing. Just like with the border, just like with the price of gasoline, none of these things had to happen. They did not have to happen. But they are happening, and they're happening because of some very bad decisions made by the Biden administration, whether it was to shut down the pipeline, whether it was to open the border in the middle of a pandemic, and now what we're watching in Afghanistan. These are bad decisions that have led to some very bad consequences for the United States. Bad consequences for the United States, and that's on Biden. I know they're trying to blame it on Trump. No, Trump has nothing to do with this. Trump has nothing to do with what we're watching in Afghanistan right now. Yes, it is true that Trump wanted to get out, and yes, it is true that he made a deal. But that deal was violated right away. So there was never really a deal in place, because you cannot have a deal if the other side's violating it. So the Democrats are trying to blame this on Trump, and I know many people in the media are trying to do the same, but I think the American people are smart enough to know that this is on Biden and not on President, this is on President Biden and not at all on President Trump. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Texas, and we'll also talk a little bit about President Biden, his approval ratings. They're not doing very well. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, a day that I think we're going to remember for a while, the day that the last plane took off from Kabul. There's that image of that military plane carrying some soldiers, I assume, flying out of Kabul, Afghanistan. And what happens now, I don't know. I don't know what happens now, but I don't think anything good's going to happen, not the way we left Afghanistan. Now, all of this is obviously having a very bad impact on President Biden. His polling data is just going south. He is anywhere between 41% to 45%. The Rasmussen Daily Tracking Poll has him at 45. I like that particular poll, that Rasmussen Daily Tracking Poll, because they use likely voters and because it's been around for a while, for about 20 or so years. And it's been a pretty reliable measurement. So I like the Rasmussen poll. I'm sure there's other polls. I'm not an expert on the companies that do them. But I like Rasmussen. I think they've met the test of time. And he's at 45 at Rasmussen. And that's not a good number. And I think there's a little bit more room for him to go south. Because, my goodness, if we see pictures of Americans stranded in Afghanistan, that's not going to help. And, of course, if we see pictures of executions of Afghan collaborators, that's not going to help. And if we see pictures of women being tormented or violated, that's not going to help. So that 45, I expect that to drop a few more points, to say the least. So just not a good time right now for President Biden And all you have to do is look at the Democrats, and they'll tell you everything you need to know about his particular situation. Well, we sort of got back to normal in Texas a little bit in the sense that we finally had a legislature, who was able to get together and, you know, function as a legislature. Those of you who live outside of Texas, you may not remember that some of our Democrat legislators left town, and therefore we didn't have a quorum. So we couldn't finish one session. We couldn't really start another session. And now we're in the middle of a third session, and it looks like we're getting some things done. And the big one, of course, is the Texas Vote Integrity law that, was passed by both houses and should be on the governor's desk very soon. And I always felt that this was a particular piece of legislation that was completely misunderstood by people. Completely misunderstood. And I think a lot of the Democrats who used it, they knew that they were not telling the truth about this law. But nevertheless, it got out there that the idea that this was keeping Hispanics or minorities from voting. And the truth is that it wasn't. Hispanics are voting in great numbers in Texas. And I've never met a Hispanic Republican who said that he couldn't vote. I mean, everybody was having no problems voting. But that became kind of the talking point, and they got a lot of help, of course, from the National Democrat Party. But I think that's over now. I think that's over now. The Democrats were hoping to use the Texas law, the Georgia law, and others that are going up across the country. They were hoping to use this as a way of somehow rallying the forces, the Democrats, going into 2022. They know as well as everybody else that the first election of a new president is always tough on the party in power and the president in power. So they knew that. They knew they were going to have a tough time in 2022. And I think they were using a lot of these vote integrity laws as a way of getting the base excited. But as we're seeing in California, where we're seeing so many Hispanics opposing Governor Newsom or in a sense supporting his recall, I think there's something going on with Hispanics that is making them less reliable to the Democrat Party than the Democrats realize. And I think a lot of Hispanics are now beginning to say, you know what? Yeah, don't tell me that Trump is a racist. Don't tell me that they want to take my right to vote away. Why don't you show me something? Show me some results. And whether it's California, whether it's Illinois, whether it's New York City, the truth of the matter is that the Democrat Party is not engaging in results. They're engaging in a lot of demagoguery, telling a lot of people a lot of different things, but they're not really producing results. And I think that's starting to backfire on Democrats, and I think you will see more and more. I mean, California is the big test. Right now, the information I'm getting is that it's a very close recall. It can go either way at this point, basically. But that's really bad news for Newsom. I mean, he shouldn't be fighting for his political life in a recall. So, anyway, that's bad news that it's as close as it is. It may not be. It could change. You never know. We won't know really for a while. But the fact that it's this close, everything I'm hearing from my friends in California is that Hispanics are driving that, that Hispanics have really turned on Governor Newsom. And a lot of it is because Hispanics want results. They want clean streets. They want schools that work. And they want a society where you can walk down the street without crime. And that, unfortunately, is not the case in many of those Democrat cities in California and across the country. So we will see. We will see. But I think Democrats made a bad bet here in going down with this vote integrity law and forgetting about the fact that Hispanics want to hear about something else. They want to hear about schools that work, cities that work, cities that are safe, streets that are safe, defunding the police. That was a stupid thing. And I think most Hispanics will tell you that as well. Well, we're going to remember today from 1973, Willie Mays, the great Willie Mays. He hit number 660, his last home run. You know, at the time that he hit number 660, he was number 3 on the all-time list behind Babe Ruth, Henry Aaron, and of course, he was number 3 on the list. I don't think he's number 3 anymore. I think there are several others who have now crossed the 660 line, and I guess it's a different time. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.